Welcome to the Matt Hummer Podcast, episode 83. The Unholy Trinity are all back together.
The Unholy Trinity.
We're all back. Yeah. How's it going, guys?
I had some time off.
Yeah, good.
That was nice.
Sure, everyone will be stoked to hear that. It has been a massive week in the world of metal. We have a download announcement already. I can't quite believe we're talking about Download 2020. It's a big announcement. A lot of bands announced, a lot of opinions. Also kind of doing the rounds on the internet. So we're going to be getting into all that in just a minute. But don't forget, in the meantime, to pick up the latest issue of Metal Hammer magazine. It is a world-exclusive brand new interview with Baby Metal, conducted expertly by the women to my left, Miss Eleanor Goodman. I'm also joined by Alice, I should have said as well. And I'm Mel, so fuck that intro right up, didn't I, really?
always.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm Mel and I'm here with Ellen Al. But yeah, go pick up the latest issue of Metal Hammer. It's an awesome interview with the band. And their mysterious manager, Cobra Metal, which Elle conducted, and is full of fascinating insights into the world of baby metal. And there's loads of other good stuff in there as well. Korn came to mind for some reason, because that was really good too. Oh, you did that as well, didn't you?
I did. Thanks for all the praise, Merlin.
Elle Fest 2020 is out now. Go pick it up. It's in all good shops. And we have a couple of baby metal bundles left online as well. These feature, as well as the very cool kind of corpse painty fox god patch and exclusive art print, we also have an alternative exclusive art print, a special kind of silver version one. It's very pretty, hand signed, limited to only 300 copies in the whole entire world, and it's got its own cover as well, so very exclusive. There's 666 of them we put online.
The mail number.
Yeah, exactly. But we sold a shit ton of them very, very quickly. So they are going to go. So if you're thinking about picking up one of those baby metal bundles, go over to tinyurl.com/buyhammer and pick them up right now. Well, we have a download announcement.
Yes, we do.
This is pretty big news, isn't it?
It is.
Yep.
I guess, yeah, first thing we should do is just go through the lineup additions. All three headliners announced at once, which is cool. Download seem to be more in the habit of doing that these days, it feels like. Used to kind of be like they'd roll out announcements over a week period, announcing a few bits and bobs at a time. But this time they've just gone bam. Three big headliners, a few massive bands on the undercard as well. Elle, do you want to talk us through it?
Yeah, so I've got headliners. Our Friday headliner is Kiss.
Classic Rock Friday.
Our Saturday headliner is Iron Maiden. Yeah. Merlin's doing a silent scream in case you can't hear that. Merlin's favourite band of all time. And our Sunday headliner is System of a Down.
Right. And that's not all. We've also got on the undercards some other shit going on.
Deftones, Korn, Disturbed, The Offspring, Gojira, Aelstorm, Black Veil Brides, Daughtry, and Of Mice and Men.
I think I'll join everyone in asking who the fuck are Daughtry. We just need to be both coming.
Well, I think they're big in America, aren't they?
They've got an American Idol person in the band, haven't they?
Yeah, they're a sort of mainstream American radio rock type of thing. And actually, I have seen some really positive comments about that. People do obviously know who they are, even though they're not really a thing.
I'm just being facetious. I'm basically picking out the one band we look like aren't kind of Metal Hammer friendly, or that I'm not personally a fan of. So I'm just being a twat. I'm being one of the moany people on the internet, basically.
Good.
So yeah, let's break this announcement down. Obviously, Kiss, this is going to be their last UK show ever. So that's obviously big news in and of itself. Iron Maiden, I believe, judging by what the band said in their statement, will be bringing a kind of more deluxe version of the Legacy of the Beast tour by the sounds of it, which is nuts, because I recently went to Oakland to see it and can still confirm it's easily the biggest production they've ever had. So the fact that they're talking about adding more to that is very exciting indeed. And then you've also got System of a Down, which I feel like will be a big talking point for us, because we've talked about where they're at
their
career as well. So what did you both think of this lineup when you first saw it?
So I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, the headliners, not particularly for me, but objectively, they are good headliners. Yeah. Kiss, I feel like, it feels like they've done a final show a lot of times, but maybe that's just in my own mind. But if it is the actual final show, that's a big deal. And they are Download, you know, mainstays. They've done it, what, three times? Or this will be the third time?
Third time headlining Download, I think.
Yeah, so not particularly for me as a band, but I can see why there'd be a good selection to have on a sort of classic rock Friday. There will be people who do want to see the final show, and there will be people who have seen them do headlining set before and just enjoy it, because kids do bring a show at the end of the day.
Definitely.
Iron Maiden, that's very much one for you.
Glaring down. Don't even think about it.
I'm not going to say anything negative. I, since being at Hammer, I have warmed to Iron Maiden, and that is because of your consistent pushing. and having seen their own show now, their own arena show, you know, I've seen what they do, and I appreciate more than I would have done a couple of years back. So I think that will be, it'll be a probably like a sort of party Saturday night, really. Yeah. Just, I mean, something that's fun.
I kind of think Kiss and Maiden are in a position where it's like, if you are... You know, they are they are part of Download's DNA, these
exactly.
bands, part of Donington's DNA. And Iron Maiden, obviously, apart from my own shameless fanboyism aside, I think people know they're going to bring a huge show, like you said. They know it's off the back of a particularly kind of historically huge tour for them. So it kind of makes sense for them to wrap that up in even more spectacular style at Download. Kiss as well, yes, they did play recently. Or relatively recently, but you know, if this is the final show, then if for some reason you missed the arena dates and any other times they play, you'd know you've got to get down for that. I think the band I'm most interested in, a System of a Down.
Yes.
Because they feel like, we've talked about it before, where, you know, they've played Download a few times since they kind of came back, like came back on the touring circuit at least. Still no sign of new music. I was actually listening to an interview with Darren Malakian on a different podcast today. It's a few months old now, but he was kind of talking about where System are at, and it still sounds like there's no sign of new music there and everything else. So with System, it's kind of like, I've seen them be all right since they've come back. I've seen them be fucking brilliant since they've come back. So I'm just interested to know what System of a Down is going to turn up, because I feel like, if they fancy it on the day, they're the kind of band that can still steal the weekend and still make everyone just remember what a brilliant band they are and what a vital band they are and how much we would love to hear a new album from them.
Yeah, that's the sticking point, isn't it, really? New music, because they've come over a couple of times and, like you said, being good and being maybe not so good, and you just don't know how it's going to go down. And it is quite strange having a headliner that haven't put any new music out for how many years?
It will be 15 years, I think, by the time this festival
comes out. That's crazy. People have been born.
It's weird thinking that Kiss will have had two new albums out in the time since System.
Yeah, and people have been born and grown up. You could be a 15-year-old now and have never, you know, had any sort of new engagement with them as a band. That sounded clinical. You know what I mean? And that's quite weird, because a headliner, you kind of think, yeah, definitely there's legacy bands or historic bands or classic bands, because Kiss and Iron Maiden, like we said, are both mainstay, both kind of huge classic giants, but they both had new records out, you know, and System of a Down haven't. So on the one hand, it feels like they're the newest band just because they're more kind of our generation's time,
yeah,
and we've got more experience tied to them. But on the other hand, they're sort of the oldest band in terms of music, so it's quite a strange one.
The band that have had the least kind of relevance to rock music in the last 15 years, which is a really weird thing to say. Like, System have not had any impact on, apart from, you know, aside from the fact they're one of probably the most influential metal bands of the
late 90s and
21st
century.
But in terms of like having an impact right now and what's going on in the scene right now, they've not released anything, so they haven't been able to help kind of dictate the discourse, as it were.
And it's very highbrow today. And yeah, it's funny what you said about listening to a recent interview and them still saying that it's not really happening, because when you see something like this announced, you immediately think, oh wow, maybe it's the time, maybe now is the time they will play it and play some new music and kind of ramp up a campaign. But if there's nothing coming from them, then yeah, it's just kind of, how many years are they going to just keep just playing every now and then, and how long is that going to go on for? Will they just do that forever and ever and ever? I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of think, like, a couple of years back, I was kind of getting a bit fed up with System because it was just so obvious that they were basically just at the position of in their careers where they just want to get together every other year and tour, and that's all they do. And at first I was a bit like, oh, that's so lame. Like, you should give us some new music, man. Like, the world's going to shit. Like, write something about it. You know, that, like, slightly entitled viewpoint of a fan, basically.
Yeah, because we had an argument because I was like, I'm excited and I don't care. And I just basically said, fuck off. And you had this whole, like, intellectual thing that you'd built up about why you didn't care as much as you should care. And now I think we're slightly flipped, actually, because I feel a bit more ambivalent towards it. But I know that as soon as I start listening to those songs again and as soon as it comes up, I'm going to be really excited for it.
Yeah. It just depends if they fancy it on the day. Like, if they turn up and they're on it, they'll be fucking great. And I, you know, I think Serge is the oldest one in the band. He's like maybe just touching on 50, and the rest are, I think, quite a few years a bit younger than him. So it's not like they're too old for this music or whatever. It's not like they're kind of just, they have to just sit there and safely play with our numbers. They can come and turn up and absolutely smash it if they want to. And I hope they do, because I think, you know, like I say, on their day, they can still sound like the most vital and important metal band going. So I'm really interested to see what they bring. And I hope they bring their A game, as it were, because I feel like that could be really, really awesome. So the undercard, as it were, of this first download announcement.
Is that what they say in wrestling?
Yeah, well, and boxing and UFC and stuff.
Okay, just checking because I'm stupid.
What? Yeah, you're stupid if you don't specifically like and engage with stuff that I like. But the other bands on this bill are fucking massive. You've basically got three arena level metal bands.
I was so excited when I heard about this.
Yeah, I actually texted Elle and just went, "You're gonna screw when you see what
this." Yeah, and I was just like, it's my week off, but I don't care. Tell me more good things.
Yeah,
so, I was super excited.
And so these are, well, one band that had just got a new album out, Korn, which has been, I think, like, lauded critically and by
really
fans.
Has.
Everyone's loving it. Stephen Hill, Metal Hammer Writer, gave it a 9 out of 10. And that seems to be, from what I can work out, pretty much reflected across the board.
I think people are really excited because they're one of the bands that have stayed true to their original sound while experimenting, and on this one it sounds quite old school Korn, but he's also doing crazy things with loads of layered vocals and, you know, talking about new stuff. And I think it is that balance of kind of new and old that people like, going, yeah, this is a Korn record and it's what I want from a Korn record, but it's not boring.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, it's really exciting that they can do that. And Jonathan, when I interviewed him, was talking about how they got new management and how he credits them with sort of getting where they are today, which is climbing back from smaller venues to bigger venues again. And now they can do bigger venues and they're putting out albums that are worthy of playing bigger venues. And it's like they're on an upward trajectory, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like the world is very much with them again.
I would love
that
to
ever left them, really.
I would actually love to see them headline Download. I know that it's not going to happen, but I'd love to see that.
That, like, they've brought out new music and they were one of the huge bands, like, you know, just over a decade ago. But System of a Down are the third headliners. I do kind of find that weird.
Well, System of a Down are bigger than Korn is the only answer to that.
Are they?
And also, I guess,
much bigger, yeah.
In a way, I never thought of them as bigger.
If you look
at them about the same.
Well, I mean, in the 90s, Korn were, you know, there weren't many metal bands bigger than Korn in terms of bands that broke through. And yeah, Korn, like I said, they're massive. They headline arenas. They get new albums out that chart really well. But if you look at songs like Chop Suey and Toxicity, those songs broke through to the mainstream in a way that few other songs in history have ever done. I think if you look at their streaming numbers, and I know it's not always down to streaming numbers, but it's quite pertinent in the 21st century. I think System of a Down have something like three times as many hits on their songs as someone like Slipknot does. So even though they've not been around, and like I said, they're not that relevant, they are just still a bigger band. It's just how it is.
Do you think not making new music has made them bigger in the sense of the mystique of it? You know, like how Ramstein took so long, and
I think if you take a few years off, yeah. Korn have an album out pretty much every other year or every 3 years.
People maybe take it a bit for granted or just kind of know that Korn are going to do that.
Because they could have, like, brought out something really, really terrible and then people would have lost interest, I guess. So they've kind of, like, got away from doing that by not releasing anything.
What system?
Yeah.
Well, that's true, because I think with Korn, it's like, you know, they've been a really good run of albums since Path of Totality, the dubstep one. And, like, even out of the last, let's say, three and including their four albums, even the not so great ones have had at least three, four, five.
They've all been good,
songs.
So I don't know and what you're talking about.
And you've loved the
about.
Last one.
Yeah, I love the last
one. No, I'm not saying any of them have
Serenity
been good.
Serenity of Suffering, I love, 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 love.
Yeah, so, but they've all been kind of, they've not released any stinkers at all is what I'm saying. Whereas System, because they really stand for something and there's so much hype and expectation around what they are, I do think, yeah, Alice is right. If they release something bad, it would almost... I don't know.
Kill
I mean,
the
they'd sell a load of records and do a good tour off the back of it. So I'm sure they'd be happy, but it might not be what everyone was hoping for.
But yeah, I'd really love to see Korn do a headline set. And I know that's just a spoilt child thing to say because they're still literally going to play the festival. I'm still going to see them. But I'd love the kind of, I'd love to sort of get behind it.
Well, this is, I think it's Korn were one of the bands that I saw a lot of people saying they'd love to see headline, maybe with some kind of co-headliner thing or maybe headlining like a new metal day. A lot of people would say it would be good fun. You could have like Korn, Deftones, Limp Bizkit, that kind of class of 2000 lineup on the main stage. And I think that kind of leads into a big discussion that this announcement has sparked in people about, you know, are we at the point now where we should be considering those kind of things? You know, should we be giving bands like Korn and Deftones the chance to headline? Because to me, that boat sailed for them. Mm. I kind of feel like that generation of metal bands is really hurt by not having festivals like Download, like Hellfest, etc., etc., etc. Because when Korn and Deftones, I mean, they're both as big as they've ever been now, really. But when they first became like arena level bands, there was no Download.
Well, it was
so unless they were booked
Leeds,
to headline,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't. I kind
they
of
had Foo Fighters, but it was massive.
It would have been it would have been a stretch to get Korn to headline Reading, I think. Whereas if Download was around in like 2000, let's say, Korn probably would have headlined that.
Yeah.
Same
there was
with Ozfest Deftones.
Ozfest around then, though, wasn't there?
Ozfest was around, yeah. So that there was that for America, but the kind of infrastructure
they had,
across
they had
Europe
them in
wasn't the same.
UK.
Korn did play in Ozfest.
They did like
one
offs, yeah.
They
but
did
it
a
wasn't the same.
Early noughties, I remember. Maybe like a run of them.
They did. Before. Yeah, there was stuff like that. But like now, there's like, if you come to Europe in the summer, there's like 15 massive festivals you can headline.
Yeah,
so you can really get
now.
Out there. And I think it goes to show because Korn do headline festivals in the States. I saw them headline Chicago Open Air a couple of years ago and they got a massive crowd and it was them, Kiss and Ozzy. So like they were on that level. But I think a lot of people feel like, you know, we've seen Maiden do Download a few times, System have done it a few times, Kiss have done it a couple of times. I think there's a few people out there that feel very, you know, not so excited by seeing certain bands doing the rounds all the time. But I also do think we've got a bit of a problem with what would happen, the general attitudes within the rock and metal scene when it comes to this whole discussion about festival headliners. Because I basically think if they did book Korn as a headliner, there's loads of us that would be really excited. But I also think you get another very vocal and loud minority going, oh, Korn, like, are they really big enough?
And yeah,
blah,
they
blah,
definitely
blah, blah.
Say they weren't big enough, and I totally get why it's System headlining and then Korn, but I just really personally like to see it. That's
no, totally.
Why I said I'm being a spoiled child
and I think
about it.
But I had a load of people tweeting me, because I asked on Twitter, like, what do people think of this lineup? And a lot of people were saying they would have liked to see Korn headline. So I don't. I think there's a lot of people out there that feel that way.
I do think that
if they did book them, you'd get people, because you know, System of a Down will sell more tickets than Korn will. Like, I think that's just a fact. So,
I just can't believe that they still do, like, now.
Yeah,
it's just
massive, though, aren't they?
I never liked them, so.
Oh,
so I just
not
like
about you,
absolute
Alice.
Pagan.
Yeah. I just never liked
Alice
them.
Alice is a pagan as well, so.
No offense to pagans listening. It's a weird one. It's a weird one. And people, you know, I had someone on Twitter saying, well, you know, could we give someone like Lamb of God a chance? And you've got that generation like Lamb of God, Trivium, all those kind of bands, Machine Head as well. I don't feel like they would quite feel like the big event you want a headliner to feel like.
No.
But the fact is that every time Download have booked new headliners, My Chemical Romance, Biffy Clyro, even Muse, who are an established band, but a real, you know, different vibe for Download, people have whinged about it, like loads. So it's kind of like, I think we're in a weird situation where I do understand that some people might look at this lineup and say, well, I've kind of seen all these bands do Download before, there's nothing new here. But I'm pretty sure if they just did something and booked, I don't know. If they booked someone like Paramore to headline and did like a whole day of, you know, more quite unquote commercially friendly rock bands underneath to kind of fit that bill. Could you imagine the kickoff that a lot of traditional download guys would have over it? So it's a really hard thing to work out, I think. I don't think there's an easy answer to this.
No, there isn't an easy answer. And we were all talking as well about like whether they'd get Rammstein, but obviously Rammstein doing that show in Cardiff. So, and having seen their show and seen how it is, it just didn't feel like something that could fit into a festival. Yeah, it felt like they'd have to have their own stage, they'd have to have all their own stuff. So I can see why that's not happening. I think they, you know, Rammstein can go out on their own and do that.
It's just a weird one. I feel like the discourse out there has got a little bit poisonous, because I don't really know what a festival like Download can do that's not going to have people whinging.
Everyone's always going to kick off.
I don't want to say that.
And the fact is, we have a metal festival, we have Download, and we have Bloodstock, and we should be...
And Download's always been the rock festival. It's not. Yeah, it's exactly. Not metal.
This is a particularly metal pop lineup punk, for Download so far. It's quite unusual to have a bill of like, what's that, like 15 bands or something, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8 of them are metal. I mean, the majority of these are like metal bands.
Yeah, it is a very metal lineup, really, for Download, I think.
Yeah, although they had quite a metal lineup last year as well. So
yeah, it was pretty metal then. So
last year's lineup was my favourite in ages. It was so good.
Banging, yeah. And I think this is a really good lineup as well. That's the thing, like, if you told me that we'd be having a debate over whether Kiss, Maiden, System of a Down, Deftones, Korn, Disturbed, The Offspring, and Gojira is like a good lineup or not, I'd be like, you fucking what? Like, that's amazing.
I agree with you. I think it's like you said, everything out there has gone kind of toxic. And you know, people forget that it's amazing that we actually have Download, and that it's an amazing place you can go every year and watch a ton of the bands you love and hang out with your friends and have a good time. And we could just as easily not have that if things went another way, and that would be really, really sad. There'd be like a massive hole in the calendar.
And it's like,
you know, when you text me and, you know, Deftones, Korn, Disturbed, Gojira, I was like, fucking hell, they are all like incredible bands that, like you said, Gojira aren't there yet, but the other three do arenas. Yeah. And
Gojira, one of those bands where people look at and think, you know, they've headlined Bloodstock, could they make a step up to arena levels? Could they headline Download? And, you know, I think if Gojira were ever to get to that point, even on their very awesome trajectory now, which we're still all very excited about, and they're in a great place, you know, you're talking years before they could get there, I think. And so I think, I don't know. It's not obvious who is out there that can just make the step up right now at this moment. You know, people talk about Ghosts. I think that's probably still a couple of years away, maybe. And I think if you're going to book Ghosts, you would have to book something absolutely fucking massive on the other days to balance out what would be, you know, less of a seller ticket wise on that particular day. You know, I mean, Avenged Sevenfold, when they first got booked to headline, so many people whinged about it that we ran a massive piece, like, lovingly poking fun at some of the responses to Avenged headlining, because it was seen as such a disgrace. Yeah. But now a few years later, people are saying, where are the new bands? Like, why are we getting these new bands? It's because, well, because you got to vote with your wallets. And
it's hard to make people happy, isn't it? Yeah, you have to keep going out and seeing new bands and supporting new bands so that they can be in a position to do that.
Definitely. And to be clear, obviously, I think people are very right to, you know, if they feel like the festival's not for them this year, or they do feel like it's not as fresh as they're hoping for this year, that's totally fair enough. And I totally get it. And I don't think... I don't think anyone's to be criticised for offering their honest opinion on something, but I do think that I can understand why people feel... Oh, I don't even know how to put it into words. It just feels like everything Download does is held up to such a high level of scrutiny because of every time they book a new band to headline, people moan. Every time they book reliable, solid headliners, people moan as well. And I should say that we shouldn't let a vocal minority kind of spoil like what is a very, very cool festival lineup. I don't want to give the impression that everything's negative. Loads of people are really excited about this, as they should be. But I do think it's an interesting debate that always seems to crop up whenever these lineups get announced.
We'll probably talk about it later anyway, but there's tons of stuff that's yet to be announced. You know, if you want to go and see younger up and coming bands, there will be there as well.
Mm. Absolutely. There'll be a lot more to come, but I think...
It is really interesting, though, how like things have just kind of stayed when it comes to festival, like big bands, things have just stayed like how it was 10 years ago. I think the last time that we had like really new bands on the stage headlining, like My Chemical Romance, Paramore, that kind of phase of music, like more emo kind of stuff. I think that was like the last time that we had like new bands at that level.
When metal's not really put bands in arenas in the same way that that scene did.
Yeah, and I don't think any scene has since, really. It's not just because it's kind of remained, it's just remained like, okay, those are the headliners now, and you have to kind of pick out of those because they're the bigger, they're the ones that are the names and they're going to get the people. Yeah. And there's not really been any in the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, if you look at, I was saying the other day, if you look at like hip hop festivals now, loads of them are made, especially the headliners, almost exclusively like modern acts that have just arrived in the last 10 years. And I think that's because maybe the hip hop scene is has got its shit together a bit more at supporting younger bands and I don't know, offering more collaborations. And I guess it's much more acclimatized to streaming culture, which is really important than metal is, because
metal's quite old school, isn't it, really?
It's not an insult, it's fucking great, because we appreciate products and we appreciate the
history, and every metalhead will go back in time and look at the old stuff more so than maybe other genres. But it also means that we kind of get stuck in the past a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we get a bit we're not quite as acclimatized to creating new stars in the same way. I mean, they're still there. Like, we've got Nightwish in arenas, we've got Sabaton doing arenas, with Temptation are doing arenas, Parkway announced arena, Architects have done arenas. You know, there's a lot of shit to be really excited about. But I think if we want to get these bands up to headlining a big fucking festival like Download, we're probably going to need a little bit more patience. We're going to need things to be done the proper way. If a band is headlining a one-off at Wembley now, they're probably going to have to put out another album, see if they can do a proper kind of arena tour, and then maybe be in the conversation to actually headline Download. Like, it's a long game with this stuff, and I think we need to be a bit more patient. And in the meantime, you know, I think this lineup's great. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing Maiden. I know I'm a sucker, but like,
you are a
sucker for Maiden, that is.
I'm kind of surprised, actually.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
I thought Bring Me might appear on this bill. I thought they might have got to the point of headliner. I know we've just literally talked about how this bill and all the Download bills are divisive, and that would have been exceptionally
They're another good
divisive.
Example, though. Like, but imagine if Bring Me and the Horizon are the only obvious band, aside from Avenged, from the last probably 10 years that you could say they could have had a shot at headlining Download. Imagine the kickoff.
It would have been huge, but they just did All Points East. You know, that was sort of curated by them, wasn't it? And they headlined it. And they really, like, you could see they were trying to impress everybody with the show. And it does feel like that was sort of meant to lead to headlining a bigger festival. And that was the intention of that performance. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of thought maybe they'd put them on a Friday or something, you know, just have a bit of a sort of wild card opener that could split people's opinions, and then follow up with the Iron Maidens and the more kind of mainstay bands. So I'm kind of surprised not to see them there.
Well, they might. You never know what their plans are, really, I guess.
No, and maybe Bring Me will go off and do their own thing. Yeah. You know,
and like, again, if you book Bring Me, you have to curate that main stage lineup around them. I think you can't just put them above Korn and just hope for the best.
No, you'd have to get a bunch of other younger bands in there, and probably like a mixture of genres as well to go with it.
Yeah, definitely. But as Al said, there'll be plenty more announcements on Download yet, so there'll be, I'm sure, many, many new bands, some more older bands, there'll be all sorts of shit to see. And like I said, I think the lineup's fucking great.
If you like metal, this is an amazing lineup.
Well, I was going to say, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably like this festival lineup, I think, because it's just, again, Kiss, Iron Maiden, I mean, for me, like, I'd like to think I've got a fairly eclectic taste in rock music, but on any festival bill, it's rare that I have to get down to like the fourth or fifth line on a first festival announcement to find a band I don't really fucking like, you know?
Yeah. Half of these bands, I'm going to be jumping up and down and screaming in your ear pissing you off.
Literally,
that's what I do.
But yeah, it's going to be awesome. And again, System of Down may feel like, oh yeah, they've done it recently, but if they turn up and they really fancy it and they fucking smash it, then it will be a really cool way to cap off the festival. So
yeah,
I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be good. And most of these bands are bands that are very much in a very good space. You know, we haven't even talked about the fact that Deftones are on there. That probably means a new Deftones album is imminent, which is exciting. Disturbed on there. That probably means you said that. Because you're on there. That probably means you got a new Gojira album.
I'll put my hands up for Disturbed. I don't have any guilty pleasures. I like Disturbed. I've said this before. And they do a really good live show. That one at Ali Pali earlier this year that we talked about, Alice. Like, I thought that was a fantastic show. And everybody went home, like, in a really good place. Everyone was loving that show. They did it really, really well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be wicked. But like lineups like these, it's easy to take them for granted, like you said about taking the festival in general for granted. But this, like this kind of lineup, is the kind of lineup that could leave everyone like coming away thinking, "Fuck me, metal's the best."
Well, we didn't even talk about Gojira, and they played Brixton recently, and they were literally on fire. Like not literally on fire; they didn't actually have fire. No, they did have fire. I think they did have fire.
It's just made me realise how similar Korn's and Gojira's font is. You switched that R around. I'm telling you. But yeah, anyway, stay tuned to metalhammer.com for more download lineup news as and when we get it. I think it's a beast of a first announcement, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come yet, so we will see what happens. We have launched a vote to find the greatest metal band of all time.
I wonder who you voted for, Merlin.
Aelstorm. No, I didn't.
I've not voted yet.
How long was it? We were in the office for about 2 hours the other day just trying to list down
out the
every
biggest bands
notable metal
of,
band ever. So there's like 150 there to pick from to start with. But even if your favourite metal band ever is not on the list, you can add your own.
Yeah.
So this is a big initiative. We are going to officially crown the greatest metal band of all time as voted for by the people. So if you want to get involved, head to metalhammer.com to cast your vote. And we will reveal the results soon. Who's the greatest metal band of all time, Mel?
Why would you ask me that? It's a horrible question.
Well, I know. You know what my answer is.
I've got like five.
Who would you vote for if you could only vote for one? Today.
I don't know.
You can change your opinion a different time. It's how you feel today.
It's horrible. I hate this question. Do I go for one that's like super inspirational, that like
your
go back
pick
in time?
Just who thinks the best?
Then, all time.
Don't worry about like, you know, ticking criteria, just that you think is the best. As soon as I see that, I obviously think Iron Maiden because they're my favourite band.
I always forget what bands I like.
Yeah, I do. I just forget all the bands that ever existed as soon as anyone asks me anything like this.
I'm just stalling.
Awful. Well, they failed, but you don't have to. Go to metalhammer.com to pick your favourite band. Now.
Oh, maybe I picked Nine Inch Nails.
Quick note to say.
Oh, they almost didn't even make it to the list.
Why not?
Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah. Because they're not a metal band.
See, I think they are. Industrial metal.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm going to pick Tool, Rammstein, Slipknot, Nine Inch Nails, Deftones, Disturbed.
But you can add Nine Inch Nails. If you believe that Nine Inch Nails is enough of a metal band to warrant being voted the greatest metal band ever, then you can add them anyway, because the option's there to add it.
I think they are in there. I feel like they were left in there.
Wow. I'm just going to vote for everyone we just talked about on the download bill, that's the undercard.
Speaking of metal legends, a quick shout out to Biff Byford, who has had to be admitted for emergency heart surgery. Saxon had to postpone their upcoming tour so he could go in and get that sorted. So get well soon, Biff. Once Saxon feel ready to rearrange those dates, we'll have them up on metalhammer.com as well.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to a metal legend. Should we do some reader questions?
Yeah,
guess so, Merlin.
Fuck yeah. facebook.com/metalhammerreaders if you want to chat to us. I'll just do the first one. I'm on a roll. Manand here says, the last issue of Metal Hammer did not have an underground section. Have we done away with that? So for those who don't know, we used to have a section in the magazine called Subterranea, edited by King of the Underground, Jonathan Seltzer. But we made a decision when we did a big redesign last year that instead of kind of confining all these awesome bands of the underground and extreme metal world into one section, which I think a lot of people might skip over if they didn't happen to be inclined that way, we decided to integrate it all into the magazine itself. So on every single issue now, you'll find features on extreme bands in the underground, you'll find pieces on new bands from the underground, the reviews of the underground and extreme metal bands are kind of in the main review section. We wanted to treat it with as much respect as all the other parts of the metal world. So the underground is still very much represented in Metal Hammer. It's just everywhere, as it should be.
And it's still alive and well online.
Exactly.
So if you want your latest Subterranea info, then just go to the Facebook page.
Yeah, we do still have Subterranea on Facebook. That's a very good point, Alice. Thanks.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Jonathan, our extreme metal guru, is writing a huge amount of that stuff as well. So he knows everything.
There's still plenty of it. And it goes up on Metal Hammer online and it gets shared on the Facebook page. Subscribe new one. So just stay tuned. Like it.
All right. a lot of these questions are on download, unsurprisingly, and we've kind of covered a lot of them.
Well, should we do this one anyway?
Okay.
Should I read it out? It's very long.
go for it.
Okay. This is from Hugh Thomas, and he asks, is download nearing the point of losing credibility with safe bookings of bands who have done it multiple times and without new music? Since 2016... only three bands that have headlined have had an album out in the last 5 years before the slot. And I think we've only had three first-time headliners in the last decade. It just seems to me Download has lost their inspiration and the balls to put on something groundbreaking.
Well, as we kind of said earlier, I don't think Download has lost the balls to put on something groundbreaking. You know, they are a business, they are a festival, they need to sell tickets, and booking something new for the sake of it, I don't think would be very wise.
I would say, jumped in on you.
No, do it.
Like we said earlier, don't count anything out, because last year D'Antwoord were announced, which people weren't expecting. It was a bit of a contrast. True.
And surprise, surprise, they moaned about it.
There was a lot of moaning. There was Behemoth on the main stage. There was Power Trip. Alien Weaponry opened the main stage on one day. And then on the Dogtooth stage, there are a bunch of bands that we all love that are up and coming, like Nail of Scaris, Ginger, Skinned, Conjurer, Batushka, yep. The Who, Love Bites, Underside, you know, some other bands that have been around for a while, like Alcest, Tosca. There is a ton of stuff on there that if you didn't want to go and see the headliners, you would have an amazing time. And actually, like, that's a really cool thing that smaller bands, up and coming bands, or established bands that don't have so much of a base can go to a festival like Download that is held together by the massive headliners and have an audience there.
Definitely. And I think also, you know, like a lot of those bands that Elle just listed are doing big things. Like The Who are doing some crazy things in terms of the amount of video views they're getting and everything else. Like, people are really excited about that band. And, you know, Andy Coppin, who is head booker at Download, and his team, they pay attention to what people are reacting to. So if if a band is booked for a tent at Download and they're a young band and they get a massive crowd and it feels exciting and vibe, you can guarantee they will get booked for a bigger slot next time. So if you are at a festival and you kind of do feel inclined to not go and see, you know, a brilliant band like Clutch for the 10th time, because you've seen them be brilliant a bunch of times before, then you should definitely go and check out the smaller bands and go and show your support, because doing that will make sure that they get more attention next time. I definitely don't think Download are scared of throwing in curveballs, because they had D'Antwoord playing under Slipknot last year. Like, that was ridiculous. Like, absolutely nuts. In terms of, how we make new headliners actually step up, then, we kind of talked about that. Like, it's going to take a bit of time with some of the bands that are currently in that conversation. So we just need to keep supporting them and buying tickets to their arena show, showing that the appetite is there, and pushing them through to that level where hopefully we can see them headlining down the line. I would like to see that very much.
I really want to see them book some more global metal acts as well.
Definitely.
I know global metal, we've said before, a problematic term, but bands from other countries essentially is what I'm saying. I loved seeing the Indian band Bloodywood a couple of months back. I'd love to see Bloodywood do something there. I think, like, they're so much fun and they do like new metal Bollywood stuff and some cover music as well. They'd be a great booking.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Definitely. Ben Wilmot's asked me a question. Again, we kind of...
it's all about you, Mel, isn't it?
Ben Wilmot says, Mel, you're a big System of a Down fan. I am. Elle is as well, though.
Right? I am too, yeah, massively.
Alice isn't. The fact that they've not released any new material since 2005 have been pretty bad the last two Download appearances. Did that remotely bother you or take the edge off any excitement as seeing them come around again? Yeah, as we said... it just depends what they're like on the day. They've been brilliant a few times over the last few years. I don't think System of a Down are a band capable of being like bad live, but I think they need to want it and they need to be clearly excited about it for that to rub off on the crowd. If they look like they're going through the motions, then that's not going to transfer to a great gig, as is true of any band ever, pretty much.
It is.
But I kind of feel, I don't know, It's almost like I feel like just by law of averages, they're due a really good show again. So I'm kind of up for seeing them like smash it. Do you know what I mean?
When they are good, like you said, it can be amazing because so many of the songs have got bounce. That wasn't meant to be a pun or anything.
Lols.
And same, like when they haven't, they're just super, super dramatic. Chop Suey, you just want to throw your arms in the air and it's a bit, you know, sort of spiritual in that way.
Indeed.
I don't know.
Indeed.
It's just good, isn't it?
It is good. I'm all up for giving. The thing is, System of a Down are literally one of my favourite metal bands of all time. So
they're so unique. You
always give them a chance
to
smash it because it's worth the risk of them not being great to try and see them be great again. Because when they're great, they're amazing. And yeah, they are so unique.
They're just doing all that thing, like bringing in, you know, Armenian sounds and making up all these kind of stream of consciousness mad lyrics that can mean all different things. And at the same time being really danceable and at the same time being heavy. And I think like with the lack of new music, it's almost you forget like how good they can be. You know, when you haven't got a band around all the time or you're not listening to them all the time, you forget and it takes someone to remind you and
definitely.
You go, yeah, this is fucking amazing.
I mean, I know this is going a few years back now in itself, but when they last played Reading, they were so good that day and it really like made everybody there remember like, you know, this is one of the best bands ever. Not just a kind of oddity and a bit of a fun band. It's literally one of the best metal bands ever. And I really hope that they can prove that at Download. I'm going to try and keep the faith. I'm undoing my cynicism from last year. I'm going to try and give them another go.
Good.
And then if they
like
fuck
cynicism.
It, we're done.
Cynicism makes me sad.
I know. Should we do one more question? This one from Rob Lake.
Yes. So Rob asks, which band should release an ale in the wake of Iron Maiden and Megadeth, and what should it be called?
I wasn't aware of Megadeth's ale, actually. I didn't know Megadeth had done an ale.
Loads of people have done
ales. I don't know. Loads of people. Basically, lots of bands have Motorhead.
Yeah. Metallica did it. Pilsner.
Yep.
Which is very, it was actually really nice. And I found out they're serving that in, where were we the other night? Serving that in the Black Heart in London now. So it's
nice.
Going global. It's a thing. I'm not been told to plug Black Heart, by the way. But, you know, if you want Metallica beer, that's where you can go. It's quite strong, though. Don't drink loads because you'll get absolutely wasted, I've been told. Go on, then. Elle looks really excited to suggest some beer.
Because you're going to hate them so much.
I hope you've done punny titles.
Oh, well, I think you might enjoy these, then.
Yes.
Okay, I've got a few. The first one is Hailstorm. Hailstorm.
Yeah, if there wasn't already a band called Ailstorm, you could have.
Why didn't I think of that?
It's there.
I just didn't think about that.
You could call it Ailstorm.
How did I not think of that?
Hilarious.
Well, okay. That's just
next.
That's a warm up.
No, you failed.
Okay, no.
That's not getting accepted at Dragon's Den.
Oh. Okay, let me do some more. Avenged Sevenfold, Ale to the King.
Oh, that's a really good one. I was trying to think of an Avenged one and I couldn't think of one. Yeah, that's really good.
Ale to the King.
The King. That's really good. That's
okay,
really good.
Here's another one. This one is
having that.
This one is a bit more left field. It's Ghost and it's Ale Sartan.
Oh.
From Year Zero. Ale Sartan.
Yeah, I've got a better one. I call mine Beer Zero. So we can do a whole line. Ale Sartan, Beer Zero. Sorted.
Would drink.
It could be a 0% beer. They're all the rage now.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. Who's paying me for these ideas?
I only had one more, but it's not as good as the other ones. It was just a pale.
It's got to be better than the
It's just
first
a pale
one.
Horse named Death, just because pale's got the word ale in.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay.
But also, it could be like an IPA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Could be.
Pale.
Got
pale
any
ale.
I can see some notes.
I got one because I thought I'd pick like a, you know, proper heavy metal old school band because that's in the, you know.
It's in the spirit of ale.
Yeah, and also in the spirit of who's done them already.
Yeah.
So I said Saxon and it would be called Party Till You Puke because that's the song of theirs. And it's beer.
Saxon have a song called Party Till You
Puke?
Yeah.
I thought that was only Andrew WK. How have I missed this all these years?
They do.
What?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Take out some dead air while I look
this
song.
This is mad. But this could change everything. I thought Andrew WK was being totally original, and now it seems like I'm about to have my worldview shattered by one fact.
Yeah. Saxon have a song called Party Till You Puke. I didn't even know
when
that.
When was that out?
Getting my metal cred removed.
When was that out?
I don't know. I can't tell on Spotify.
At first, I thought it would be called Princess of the Night. And then I was like, no, because it could be a dark ale then. They could have one called Princess of the Night or whatever.
Yeah, that's actually a really good name for an ale as well. Yeah, like, it's not punny, it's just good.
It's just, yeah.
Mine feel corny
for
now.
For like a dark one, maybe like a dark ale. And then Party Till You Puke could be like a easy drinking IPA or something.
That would work. You've thought that
really good. Okay, well, yeah, as I said, I had Ghost with Beer Zero. this is so bad. Lamb of God set to ale.
Oh yeah, so that's good. Shit. That's good.
The Prodigy, Stout of Space. Come on, that's good.
That's literally the
Stout
worst thing.
Of Space.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
if I'm not having Hailstorm, you're not.
You're not having Hailstorm because
there's
didn't
already
think
a band. Hailstorm should just have their own rum infused ale.
and my final one was Foo Fighters, Learn to Fly, PA.
You can't see this, but the look on Merlin's face—he's so pleased with himself.
That's sick. Right.
Is it though? What's the best one out of all of those then?
I think we could produce these Saxon and Ghost ones. I reckon that we've got the start of
a line.
New beer empires.
Yeah.
So there you go. Three ideas for your bands if Tobias is listening. should we quickly do this last question now?
All right. Matt Grimster asks, with the Download 2020 headliners having previously headlined in 2015, that's Kiss, and 2016, that's Maiden, and 2017, that's System of a Down. Do you guys think there is such a thing as a headliner being booked too soon after the last time they headlined?
I just think it depends on what they are bringing. Maiden, to me, that's a four-year gap. I think that's okay. They did the Book of Souls tour last time out. This time they're bringing, it looks like anyway, the Legacy of the Beast tour, I think. I think that's a show that should be put on a festival stage because it's massive. It's not done it in festivals yet. It makes sense to wrap it up with the Download.
So. I actually really want to see that.
And I'm not just saying that because they're my favorite band and blah, blah, blah. I genuinely think that makes sense. If you just spent the last 2 years taking a massive set around the world, it makes sense to kind of complete the set by doing it at Download, to me. I think that works. And Kiss as well. If it's the last time you're ever going to see them, then it's the last time you're ever going to see them, you know. Put it this way, that's the last time anyone's ever going to be able to moan about Kiss headlining Download. So get out of your systems now because you won't be able to do it again. System for me, it just depends how good they are. And on the tiny off chance there's new music, but I'll be surprised.
When is your favourite band? You don't give a shit? Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, to me, I was admitted that a couple of these bands aren't my favourite bands. But when it is your favourite bands, like The Undercard has got, you know, Disturbed, Korn, Deftones, Gojira, I would watch those bands again and again and again and again and again because I love them. Like, any opportunity I get to watch them, I'm going to go and watch them. So if you love those bands, I just don't think it matters.
Yeah, it's true. I've seen Maiden fuck tons and I'll never get bored of it. But if that's not for everyone, that's fine. I'm sure there'll be stuff on the undercard for you.
I probably enjoy it because you're enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll bring the enthusiasm.
I'll bring, mate. When my Maiden play Aces High and Wicker Man and the Clansman, I'll be bringing enough enthusiasm for the whole fucking field. Don't you worry about that.
If I've got an ice cream in hand.
Oh yeah, you love the festival ice creams. Oh, I'm getting excited thinking about Download now, and it's ages away. We've only just had festival season just wrapped up last month, and I'm already being like, let's go.
I want to go now. I want to go and see Deftones and Korn and Gojira and Disturbed. Yeah. I want to have an ice cream. I want to stand in a field.
I think, like, I totally get it. If you've seen a lot of bands play a festival a lot of times, you know, we get to go because we work it. We get to go for free. So we can't really sit here and say, this is what you should be spending your money on. But I do think that we don't know what days the other bands are playing. But if you get a day where you can, like, watch Gojira and then watch Korn and then you're gearing up for System of a Down or something like that, like, That's cool. Like, that's exciting.
I'll probably,
you know,
just go in a corner and have a small cry if that's how it works out.
Yeah, well, it's got to be, yeah.
A cry of joy.
I'm really interested to see how they book this, actually. How they, you know, maybe one of these bands could headline the second stage, and that could be a precursor for them getting a shot at the main stage.
I'll be really sad if all the bands I like clash because they've put them on at the same time.
I'm pretty sure Korn won't clash with Deftones. I'd be absolutely stunned.
I don't know what I would do. If Gojira, Disturbed, Korn, Deftones have any kind of clash, I'll be so sad.
Unlikely. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks for joining us. I'm off to see Volbeat and Baroness tonight. So
that'll be good.
Nice. Exciting. I'll be reviewing that. They're playing Brixton Academy next week. Really interested to see how the fantastically awesome Baroness go down with the Volbeat crowd. So I'll be reviewing that next week, and we'll be back with all the latest news, reviews, and nonsense in the world of heavy metal. We will see you then. Thanks, everybody.
See ya. Bye-bye.